Oh, it's good. Yeah, we have Hashem took away the, during the time of the Bayis Sheni that the Anshei Knesses Hagdilah was mispalel that the Yetzer should be eliminated, which it was. But only what happened, like a horror movie, a science fiction horror movie, is to be replaced by a new problem. When you take away one problem, you just make for yourself more problems. And what was the new problem that we replaced? With two Nashim. The previous Nevuah, according to the Malbim, was the elimination. It's really Beferish Gemara. That was the previous Malbim of Zois. That was the Chazal that we learned last week. Zois Harisha. This is Harisha is the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah, which came out of the Kodesh HaKodashim in the image of a lion of fire. They took it and they put it in a tube of lead. That's what it means there. They put upon it the Evan Ho'eferes. It was sealed in the tube of lead. What happened next? A new problem came. The problem of Gasoi Saruach and Chanifa. That was the replacement. Now the question, where did that come from? Where did the Gasoi Saruach and Chanifa come from? So you can say one of two things. Either you can say that's the here. We learned last week that when they caught and they took hold of the Yetzer Avodah Zarah in the struggle, a here fell out. And when that here was dislodged from the Yetzer Hara in the battle between the Anshei Knesses HaGedolah and the Yetzer Hara, the lion gave out a roar that went from one end of the world to the other, and a here fell out. That here was not put away in the tube. That here remained outside. That here is the source of the Chanifa and the Gaiva. Or you can say like this. The truth is, Chanifa and Gaiva were always out there in the world. They were always out there. However, the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah suppressed. There was a silver lining. There was a silver lining in the world and being the, in this that there was an Avodah Zarah for a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah. When a person is yearning to worship a deity, that automatically means I'm a nothing. Think about it. If a person acknowledges, a person wants to acknowledge or to believe. In something else, that there's a higher authority, person wants to have that belief, that automatically means that you acknowledge I'm a nothing. Because if I'm worshiping something else, I'm a garnished, I'm a nothing. And flattery is the same thing. You're not going to flatter and elevate a human being. A human being, when you realize there's a deity, there's a God. Now, you may be corrupt and believe in false gods, but a human being is not a God, generally speaking, unless they have Nimrod or you know, people who you worship. Gods generally were assumed to be beings in the heavens, things that we don't relate to in this world. So when as long as there was a Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah, Memela, it was just as a byproduct, the desire for Gaiva and for Chanifa were suppressed. But now that the Yetzer Hara of the Zohar has been eliminated, no one is coming to worship deities. So now what already is there comes forward. The desire, the Gaiva, that I am special, I am unique, and flattery, that we can flatter a human being, that just naturally appears. You know, it's like what they say with this whole period that we're living through now, this corona tekufa. I've heard this over and over again from all different angles, is that there are a lot of problems today out in society. Corona more or less did not create new problems. The vast majority of what Corona has done was it just brought to the forefront pre-existing issues. There have been problems in society from time immemorial. always problems in every dimension of life. Corona just exacerbated these problems. It just put these problems in the spotlight. If there's people have issues, shalom bias issues. So there's always been a shalom bias issue. There's been shalom bias issues for people who have shalom bias issues for 30, 40 years. But now that they're locked up in the house and looking at each other 24/7, it just exacerbates the problem that always existed. Person, Rachman Lestan, is suffering from depression. It's always been a problem. He's always been taking medication, always been going to a doctor. And now, when he's isolated, he's all alone, and lost his job, it just brings out the depression even more. 90% of the problems that we have, even more, maybe even 95% of the problems that we have today, and this is not, they're nothing new. Nothing new. It's just been put in the spotlight. That's the same exact thing over here when it comes to what the Malam is saying. We have over here a Yetzer Hara. He's saying something that is very, very deep, the Malam, a very powerful idea. We have here two prophecies. The previous prophecy is where there's an Eifa, and the Eifa is being lifted up, and it's being thrown away to another land, and we're taking an Evan Hoferes, a stone of lead, and we're stuffing it down its throat, down the throat of the Isha. The Isha, that is the source of this, affiliated with this problem. According to the Malbim, what is that all about? That Isha, Zois Harisha, is the Isha. The Isha is the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah. And it is being suppressed entirely, completely. It is being choked to death. The Evan Oferis is being stuffed down its throat. And it's getting buried in a faraway place. And then comes along the next Nevuah. Guess what? It's a horror movie. We have now, instead of one Isha, we have two Nashim. What? You took away one Yetzer Hara, and now you replace it with two Nashim. How did that happen? And who are the two Nashim? It's not Yetzer Avodah Zarah. It's Yetzer Hara, it's Gasoi Soruach and Chanifa. Where did they come from? What, they came out of thin air? They just developed out of thin air? So maybe you'll say, no, I tell you, two mahalcha. Either Gasoi Soruach and Chanifa really is a subcategory, a minor subcategory of Avodah Zarah. 99% of the Avodah Zarah has been eliminated by it being put in a lead tube. But there was a struggle. And in the struggle, a little here fell off. That here is the subcategory, is the source of life of Chanifa and Gasoi Soruach, which is a subcategory of Avodah Zarah, and that is the makar, the source, the life source of the two Nashim. Or we can say, no, these two Nashim have existed from time immemorial. They were hanging out. They existed from the very beginning. However, they hid their ugly face in the ground as long as the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah was dominant. Because when the Isha, the previous section, was dominant, and there was a desire to worship idols, that automatically suppressed that Yetzer Hara, was an antidote for Chanifa and Gasoi Soruach. If you're willing to worship a deity, that means I'm a nothing. It's part of the territory. If you're worshiping somebody else, or you're worshiping a god, a false god, you're nothing, more or less, to a degree. Flattery generally is associated with elevating man. You look at a human being and you say, oh, you're the greatest, you're such a wonderful person. If you're worshiping an idol, you're a nothing. The god, that's the object of worship, not you. But now that the Yetzer Hara for Avodah Zarah has been eliminated, so now these two pre-existing conditions, Chanif and Gasoi Soruach, when the cat's away, the mice will play. Now they can come out of their hole and they can make a lot of trouble. And that's exactly what we're seeing over here in this pasuk. Okay, this is really good. The Malam over here, as Kedarkoi, always has what to say. Okay, let's go further down. That's towards the bottom.
I just want to mention something. I'm thinking, Yetzera exists by a human being because it says Yetzer Lev Ha'adam
Ra Minura.
He has Yetzer Ra, definitely. The question is, how do you direct that Yetzer Ra? If you direct it toward Avodah Zarah, that's the function, what he does. But the Yetzer is there. They cannot kill the Yetzer Ra.
You have to channel it. Channel it for
however,
good.
They killed just the direction he went to.
Okay, that's another idea.
Thinking, because I was, as a teacher, I remember if I had a student that did something wrong with that, I said, why do you do that? He said, because that's my nature. He said, okay, so let's direct your nature towards something else. So if you can do it to the positive and to the negative also.
Very good, excellent. Okay, let me it's really, we're in the middle. Let's just review. Let's start from the beginning very quickly because I can't really find a good place to start from the middle. Let's start from the beginning of Pasuk Tes. We'll run through very quickly. I lifted up my eyes and I saw Ro Maria Chedesh Shtei Noshim Yoytzes. Two Noshim are going forth. Uperishu Chazal. Who are these two Noshim? Shazo Chanufa the Gasoy Saduach Sheyar de Lebavel, which came down to Bavel. What does this mean? Sha'achar Shadosh Nistima Ho'efa. After we learned the previous prophecy that the Eifa v'chadol haminus v'yitzra d'avodah zarah, in the previous prophecy we eliminated apikursis and the desire to worship idols, which is really this one and the same thing. Now, as a result of the void of the elimination of this Yetzirah, it's been replaced with a new Yetzirah, which is equal. And what is it? Instead of one woman, oh, look what we got now. We got two women. Rosh, Dei Noshim, two women now have come in its place. This is flattery. This is equivalent to idolatry. Everything you do is phony. You're a faker. To flatter through your deeds. Everything that you do is not for real. It's only for show. It's only to make belief, to achieve ulterior motives. For ulterior, that flattery, who has shituf hanistar she'oved es Hashem ubnei Adam, when a person, it's shituf. Flattery is like Christianity. Christianity is known as shituf, where they believe in God. They definitely believe in God, but they also believe in man. They believe in a human being, Yoshka. So this is a new type of religion which according to the Malbim, he's saying something very profound. The essence of Christianity is Hanifa. Okay, that's a whole new, if you want. Man, one man is Mechanef another man. Flattery in our language, in our translation, means you praise someone more than what he deserves. Person gives a speech. I want this a politician. I told
you. They believe that he is a god, not just
he is the son of God,
man.
Right? Because his father.
Protestants only believe that he was a man who was a prophet, but Catholics believe that he was a god. He was the son of
okay,
God.
Okay, I don't know the fine nuances of all the different.
Yeah, but that's supposedly where the difference is. In other words, Muslims believe that Jesus existed as a prophet, not as a god.
But as a human being. They claim he had a mother, but
well,
no father.
Catholics believe he was supernatural. He was he was the son of God. And God was his father.
Okay, I told you, I know nothing about this, but I'm assuming that according to all versions, everyone does believe that he was born from a mother, right? He had a mother. Mary,
he had a mother. That is the sperm was God.
Right, exactly. So he does have an element. Shituf. That's why we always refer to Christianity with this term shituf.
Meaning there is a second divinity.
That's why when the Abarbanel had his vikuach there, when he had one of these things, he asked them, so you say that Jesus is the son of God, so then he can't be the Messiah, because the Messiah has to come from the house of David.
A human being.
If he comes from the house of David, then God isn't his father.
Exactly. So
which one, pick, make a choice.
Lo mata pasecha shnei asifim. Im l'Hashem l'chachav. There's nothing about Christianity that makes any sense. We all know that. The whole thing is pure,
right, yeah, but
pure baloney.
That was his claim. That's the way he
writes. Yeah.
You know,
right.
He asked them. He said, take your pick.
You see it today.
The Son of God, or, and then he's not the Messiah. Or he's the Messiah and not the Son of God. He has to be from the house of David. That you, you know,
yeah,
you accept.
When,
can't be both.
When you're crazy, you can look at evidence. I was reading yesterday a little bit about some of the evidence. Reading some of the evidence they have to prove that there was fraud in various states, and I don't know, I'm a nobody, I'm just reading, and I'm reading through the evidence, and I'm watching a few little clips here and there. To me, it could not be more blatant. It's like what more do you want? I mean, just read what it says. Go through one document after another document, one analysis after another analysis. And for the opposition to just completely deny and just say nothing, I mean, that is very telling. When you are corrupt, logic doesn't make any, it's not part of the agenda. That you should be, rationality does not exist when
facts.
When facts don't exist, when you're crazy. So Christianity is no different. Christianity is built upon halacha biyadua Esav soine Yaakov. To a very large degree, Christianity is a product of the hatred that the Umma Yisraelim have for Klal Yisrael. And the facts don't matter. The facts don't matter. Rationality is not part of the equation. All of the arguments, the sound arguments that you will present a court or present the common man, they're blind, totally blind. Now let's go back to over here. Chazal, these are not my words. Chazal tell us that Christianity is called, in their terminology, shituf. What is shituf? Shituf means they believe in God. Again, I don't know anything about the ideology of Christianity, but this is what Chazal tells us. They believe in God, but they also believe in a human being. Meaning that a human being is a God. All the various, you know, the Protestants, the
Trinity,
Catholics,
whatever it is,
the Holy Ghost, all of these things. But there's an element that they're taking a human being and they are ascribing to him godly powers in all of its dimensions, in all of its various forms. Chazal have summarized the entire gamut of Christianity with a term called shituf. They believe in God, but they also are believing in a human being as being a God. How in the world of halacha do we relate to such a religion? And that's very important, because in the world of Avodah Zarah, there's a very big difference between an Ovid Avodah Zarah and a person that's not of Avodah Zarah. As far as many areas, as far as if they touch wine, living leniencies, and doing business with them, are you allowed to engage in business during their holidays? There are a lot of relevant laws, and the Rambam says this is not Avodah Zarah, and the Rambam is a major player in this fact, and that Christianity is not in the world of halacha considered to be Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah means pure idolatry. God is not part, what we know as the Ribbono Shel Olam, is not part of their equation. In Christianity, it is. They don't understand that Kadosh Baruch Hu like we understand the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but the concept is the same. The Rambam Ali says so. And even though they have problems, they have joined to it another element which is completely false. Yet, because they do have an element in their ideology of an acknowledgement of a Ribbono Shel Olam, according to the Rambam, that removes them from the category of Ovdei Avodah Zarah. And the consequences are, you're allowed to engage in business with them. You're allowed to engage in business with them before all their holidays. Because if they really are Avodah Zarah, then you would not be allowed to do business 3 days before, because everything they'll do, they're going to thank whatever they're going to do. The Rambam says it's okay. That's the Rambam. Not everyone agrees to that. The Malbim, which is hundreds of years after the Rambam, comes along now and he gives it a different term. He doesn't use the term shituf. He used the term chanifa, flattery. And he's giving us a new translation. The Malbim was an expert in translations. This is the Malbim's forte. This is his field, to translate words with precision. We are accustomed to translate the word chanifa as flattery. You see a person who's ugly as sin, and you say, you're the most handsome man I've ever seen. Okay, a woman who is ugly as sin, she's Miss America, right? Right? That is called flattery in our vocabulary. But in the Malbim's vocabulary, that's not flattery. Flattery, he says, to read these words over here means the Hema Chanufa, this is Chanufa, Shezesh Shokul Kavoy de Zara, Al Yidei Sheyase, Kol Masa Bitzvius, Lachanebuchem Shezesh, you flattery, you praise the person. Shezem mishatef ba'avodasa, this is part of your service. What do we mean? He explains. K'moy shekoskos alavava, shachanufa, what is chanufa? Shachanufa, hu hashituf. It is, he's giving it the same word. He's calling it shituf. It is the partnership. The partnership, hanista, the hidden partnership. She'oived es Hashem, you serve Hashem, uvenei Adam, and you serve man. Isn't that Christianity? V'hi kifira b'Hashem b'tzina. It's not an open, blatant rebellion against Hashem. It's a more delicate rebellion against Hashem b'tzina. By the way, he's calling this avod zara in the translation, the terminology of the Malbim. I don't know if the Malbim can argue on the Rambam. The Rambam says that shituf is not avod zara, and he says this is avod zara. I don't know if he means it halachically, literally, but he does say words which are a little bit stronger than we would expect from the point of view from the Rama. Further, v'chein gasoy saruach, gaiva, arrogance, sheyisnasei b'lovei l'damoy, l'damoy is a person, he elevates himself in his own heart, l'damoy is to imagine. It's a great word. L'damoy means to live in a world of fantasy. That's the lesson I learned from that book from Rabbi, I forgot his name already, Rabbi Hoffman, Rabbi Shlomo Hoffman. It's a fantastic book. Is the one you said I took out of that book is, don't live in a person's, your entire life is a struggle. There's a battle to live in a world of reality and not be fooled to live in a world of fantasy. Okay, that is the struggle of man, and that is what differentiates. That is what differentiates man a person who's called a normal versus a shaita. What is the definition of a fool? In his understanding, a fool is a person who lives in a world of fantasy. That is called a shaita. And when a person over here, gasas haruach, a person who's arrogant, he thinks he is what he is not, he's a shaita. Arrogance is equivalent to foolishness because you're living in a world of make-believe. Okay, let's go further. Sheladamois. To imagine shemasik hasagois be'elokus, you think that you know it all. The yismech al sichlo, you rely upon your logic, your knowledge, ubinasa, and your understanding. The yetziyal de zeliminus, and through that you become an avikoyres kemosha haya bebayisheni, like it was in the bayisheni bekitos hachalukos shamdu b'dayim shahaya sibasam shtei shtei. So he's talking over here the term of the bayisheni. He's talking about the churban. There were three groups at the end. There were the prushim, the I've got the terms already. There were three. It's stoikim and then the biroinim. What were they called? The biroinim.
Biroinim.
The biroinim.
That was just the boars. In other words, that's
They were strong armed fundamentalists, mafia. They were fundamentalists. So he's saying this is what he's saying over here. Now let's see. So these two nashim are now replacing. They are now the omdu tachas. These two nashim are the replacement of the yetzer da avodah zarah. And he's explaining in some very esoteric words that Klal Yisrael, saying something very deep, Klal Yisrael was splintered into two groups. Now, I'm not sure exactly what he means by that, exactly what point in time he's referring to when they were splintered into two groups. But the two groups, the two groups is one group which suffered from Gasas Ruach, and another group suffered from Hanifa. And these two groups were the replacement of the plague that afflicted the Jewish people in the Bayis Rishon of Avodah Zarah. So there are two types of Yetzirah in the time of the Bayis Sheni. That's what he's saying over here. These are the two Noshim. And the cause of all of the different problems during the time of the Bayis Sheni was these two nashim, Horoi So'ela, Sh'amdu Tachas V'Sh'achas, which was a replacement of Avodah Zarah, Shehi Yitzred of Avodah Zarah, Shehu Shlucho Techo'efa, which was eliminated. Rak Shiro Shalohem K'nafayim K'kan V'Achasida. So now he's saying over here something else. I think it means this, their saving grace. Even though in the time of the Bayis Sheni we have now a double problem, not a single problem, but this Yetzahara, these Noshim, have wings of Hachasida. Shachasida Hagam Shi Oif Tomei. Even though it's a non kosher bird, Mar Eis Es Atzma Koisa Chesed. It's a faker. It makes believe that it does Chesed. Kamoishem Chazalom Nikoshma Chasida. Sha Oisa Chesed Im Chavroi Secha. The Chain Yish Yishamu Min Hani Uf. The Hachasida is a bird that is careful not to engage in Gilui Arayos. K'moy Sh'amru HaTiv'im, the scientists tell us, the CDC, the scientists, they tell us, She'ha'ofa Yisrael Yasu Mishpat Ban No'afim. You ever hear this before? I never heard this before. That these birds have a court of law, the Hachasida. And if any member of its society commits adultery, they are executed. They're very serious business. The birds, you find birds are very loyal to their mates. That's why we have the Tar and the Bnei Yoina. Mm-hmm. So the famous Baal HaTurim, the Tar, I forgot which one, the Tar of the Bnei Yoina, once it loses...
Generally, that's the most faithful.
The Yonah, right, the Yonah, that's what Klai Shem's compared to the Kanfi
Yonah. The Yonah is singled out for that trait of fidelity.
That if it loses its mate, it loses its zook, it never remarries. Mm-hmm. It never attaches itself to another partner. There's loyal...
Ravens also, by the way.
So you see that over here, now we have another bird called the Hachasida, which the Malbim is telling us, and scientists have analyzed them, and they've gone even further, that if a member of their society commits adultery, they execute it. This mishpat. Okay, I don't know what he's telling us, these very interesting things here. So we're now focusing on this particular bird, which on the one hand is not kosher, but mitzad sheni, it makes believe that it's kosher in regard to doing kindness, which is a kosher trait, and it's also very makbid on Niyuf, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hashem, he hates. Hashem has a sinner for Arayos. V'chein yidmu hador hazeh. He's now going for this generation's compared ki iluhim kidoishim leilo kehem. They're holy people. Kiddusha represents represents Gidorim in Arayos, in being super duper careful in matters of man and woman, the Oisim Chasadim, and they do kindness, they hain Temeim Be'emes, but they're really not kosher. Ki Kuloi Choneif, as Yeshai in the parallel prophecy says, they're all a bunch of phonies. Okay, the Gam Soif Lioska Chasida. The end will be, they will be like the Hasidah, Shetiso Konof El Arotzais, Rechoikos, which will lift up its wing to a faraway land. Kemoshakos of Gamma Hasidah Bashmaim, Yoda Moadeha, it knows its time. It will ultimately be eliminated, it will be sent away to a faraway land. This pasuk says that the Hasidah Yoda Moadeha, we have another very good pasuk about the Hasidah, which I don't know what it means, I don't know what it means. It knows its set time. The ruach bechanfeim, ruach gaiva. He's learning over the ruach versus the gaiva. That's the gaiva. The ruach chanufa umisnasim al kanfei ruach. It's raised up upon the wings of the ruach hamedame of the imagination. It imagines itself to be more than what it really is. It's a phony. Let's just read further. We'll summarize. Vatisena esraifa ben aritz v'shamayim she'in eloi baritz v'shamayim. It's in the center. When you look at them on the outside, they look wonderful. But deep down in the hidden parts of their hearts, they're earthly. They are phony. They are fakers. This is a term which means they're no good. They go down like animals. They're just balei taiva. And now, in this nevuah, the measure, which according to the Malam refers to the measurement of punishment. This is a mida kineged mida la'anish ha'chaitim al reya ma'asehem. He's saying heavy, heavy duty things, which unfortunately is pretty obvious in this generation to a degree. And that is, if you look at Klal Yisrael, I mean, I'm not saying anything, I don't say anything bad. I'm just saying that what our challenge is Baruch Hashem, you know, in the Haredi world, and even in the whole Orthodox world, go to a wedding today, there's a big mechitza, right? Separate seating, separate dancing. Everything is, everyone is tsanua. Everyone dresses with tsnius. Everything is go to shul. You know, everything is separation. Kiddusha, that's what it looks like on the outside. Chesed, just open up any newspaper, page after page after page, organizations of chesed, every type of chesed you can possibly fathom, and things you can't even imagine. There's a gemach for everything you can possibly imagine. So we, Baruch Hashem, at least fit that description. We fit the description of Kedusha, the hachasida. The hachasida is the bird that's makbid on arayos, which is the most important thing in Klal Yisrael. Is Arayos, is the Kedusha of Ish V'Isha, and we're referring, it's also called HaChasid because it's Oise Chesed, but the challenge of the generation leading up to Mashiach is that it should be Toichoi Kebaroi, just like on the outside. It's beautiful. There is so much chesed and there's so much kedusha to the naked eye. The challenge is the panemius on the inside, what we do in secret and all the maneuvering and the manipulation within all of these organizations. The challenge is, are we really doing it l'shem shamayim? Or are we being medameh? Are we living in a world of fantasy where we think we're doing chesed and we're really just doing it, you know, just to make a name for ourselves, just for our own benefit?
Kavod.
Our kavod and money is an organization, just an opportunity to make money. Is an organization just an opportunity to make a name for yourself, to make a life for yourself and have people run around you run around you and honor you and worship you, is what's the real goal? What is your real kavana? Is your kavana mamish l'shem shamayim, or are there ulterior motives? Now, after World War II, when the Gedolei Yisrael, the survivors, came to America and they built institutions, they built the institutions 100% l'shem shamayim. They saw children, people, mamish, there was nothing. So they were meiser nefesh to create institutions. Today, when you hear someone opens up a new yeshiva, why open up a new yeshiva? Why? Because you need a job. That's unfortunate. It's very sad. Why? Because you really are concerned about the Talmidim, that there are people out there that are not learning, they're not getting what they need. So maybe it would be better to be mechazek the other yeshivas. There are the yeshivas who are in position. There are yeshivas out there that, if they had a few more dollars, they'll be able to hire a few more rebbeim and have more resources to help the Talmidim achieve. And they're much better equipped to deal with the situation than you are. You have nothing. They have buildings. They have connections. They have government connections. They have connections from all different types of community services. You don't even know the Olive Base. You think you're going to grab a kid off the street and you're going to change his life? Why don't you send him to a regular yeshiva and offer them a lot of money to hire and help them go to the next step? No, I need a job also. I need a job also. Okay, that's a good argument. There's nothing wrong with it. But this is the challenge. This is the challenge. This mom over here, it's amazing because it's so true for our generation. There's so much chesed today, and there's so much kedusha today, but yet, unfortunately, there are a lot of problems. There are a lot of problems on the inside. When you know something from the inside, it's not like what it looks like from in the FJJ. FJJ already looks fine and good. And when you know some of these things from the inside, you know, you begin to wonder sometimes. And it's human nature. Okay? That's the challenge. It's a good thing. It's the challenge. And the Malbim is just breathtaking. His brilliance and his analysis of society is just really, really unbelievable. How he learns these two prophecies. The previous prophecy, what it's replaced with, the challenge of our generation, of gaiva and flattery as the replacement for avodah zarah. And what exactly is gaiva? Gaiva is you're in fantasy world. You think you're doing l'shem shamayim. You think you're so smart. Who you're fooling? Who told you this nonsense? You're gonna tell people, go just put up a picture. Put up a picture of a gadol in your house. And all of your problems are going to be solved. You know, I'm not coming to argue, but you know, if you were to give me a picture of a Yaakov Avinu's image is etched in the Kisei HaKavod. That's what it says in the Medrash. So the Ribbono Shel Olam also has gedolim pictures. You know, Hashem also has gedolim pictures. Yaakov Avinu is on the dining room wall, in the dining room, hanging on the dining room by the Ribbono Shel Olam. The image of Yaakov Avin, V'hoyu einecha rois es merecha. But if I would put up a picture of Yaakov Avinu at home, do I fool myself into thinking all of my problems are going to be solved? So, kol shekein, a tzaddik, a holy tzaddik living in our generation, okay, so, you know, no one's denying the fact that sacred person, it's not Yaakov Avinu. And if I would hang a picture of Yaakov Avinu, it wouldn't make a difference. So where you get this, it's going to solve all your problems. I don't get it. I don't understand. If you give $2 to buy a letter in a Sefer Torah, it will be a miracle. The miracle Sefer Torah. Really, it's that easy. $2, it's going to solve all your problems. You go for this? You go for all this? Am I missing something? You know, they have had the big seam now. I want to know where all the money went. There are 300,000 letters in the Sefer Torah. That means each letter, you got to pay at least $2, which means at least $600,000. And most people gave a lot more. So they probably raised $2 or $3 million. Who got the money? Where did all the money go? And they told you that if you do give these $2, you're going to win the miracle Sefer Torah. The people that were, I don't know if you realize, Pesach time when they were advertising, the passion that the entertainers were telling you, click on my link, and give that money. None of them, I listened very carefully to all of these celebrities, none of them said, Da'af into Hashem, have emuna, do teshuva, tzfi u'seshuva, u'sefila u'tzedaka, ma'avirin esroya ha'gzir. I listened to almost every one of these advertisements, these video advertisements. None of them said anything remotely close to those words. U'seshuva, u'sefila, u'tzedaka, ma'avirin esroya ha'gzir. What was the message? Click on my link with Ma'amish Ahislavas and give that money and we'll have miracle saving. I mean, come on. I mean, what is this? What is this, hocus pocus? This is called dimyon, fantasy, imagination, gaiva. This is exactly what he says over here. This is called gasa seruach, viruach bichanfehem. This ruach, the ruach of gaiva. Gasa ruach, what is gasa ruach? Dimyon, imaginary things. Everything is in the world of imagination. Dimyon.
Yeah, but Rabbi Levin, if I understood gaiva to mean overrating oneself.
That's Hanifa.
Hanifa to overrate others.
Oh, it's another approach. Okay, they're all related. These are different.
We're talking about fantasy about something else other than yourself out of desperation or whatever it is. I don't know. I think that might be something different.
All right. They're related. They're like, on the outside, it's all good. I'm not, who am I to go? It's wonderful. It's all, what's so terrible? It's all wonderful. Yeah, with me, ma'achid, klal yishol, to sing and dance, it's beautiful. Just the question is, what is the focus? What is the emphasis? What is the ikur and what is the tofel? What is the ikur and what is the tafel? Is the ikur, that's the chanifa. The chanifa is, keep your eye on the ball, the malbum, and analyze it. On the outside, there's kedusha and there's chesed. The problem is a bird that's tame. And the bird has a lot of wind in its wings. So the wings raise it very high, greatness, but the wings that are raising it very high in its greatness is the ruach of gaiva and the ruach of chen. I'm not saying this. I would say this. They would shoot me on the spot, even before I take off my mask. but the Malbim says that's how we live shah in the pasuk, and this is, it's not a bad thing. This is the territory. This is the challenge of the generation not to that we should not come to this. We should be pure. Pure and sincere in everything that we do. All right, that concludes the Malbim. Now, before we go further, no, we're not finished yet. We have to go to the next page, page 761. So let me put that on the screen. Here we go. Page 761. A few more lines of Malbim. Okay, here it is. Pasuk Yud Aleph Oymar, and I said, "V'chasher ro'ah shehei malichim eifas oynish." When I saw that they were taking this eifa, this measure, to the land, le'eretz acheres. Okay, it's on page 76 of this other land. Shoal ono heim malichus eifa. Where are you taking this? Vayim re'elai livnois levayis ve'et shinar. Choydiya lo shabavur ze yurchrav habayis. Because of this, these two noshim, Chanifa and Gasaruach, the bayis will be destroyed. The Yetzu Yisrael...
The
bayis sheni will be destroyed. The Yetzu Yisrael shenis lagoyle. Shahar b'min agoylem hoyu be'eret shinar. Many of the goylem were in Eretz Shin Bavel. Shasham nish'aru Yehudim harbe. V'chein mitam zen nish'aru be'eret shinar. V'lo shavu be'bayis sheni. They did not return. And because of this... So what does he mean over here? This he said before is that because since they knew that the bias would be destroyed, they never went to begin with. From the time of the bias for 420 years, they didn't go anywhere. Since they knew in advance the bias would be destroyed, they decided even not to leave. They never returned. We spent a lot of time yesterday in that word. This is awesome what he says. He says, you know why they're gonna go there? Because in Bavel, this is really spooky what he says. That's what they specialize in. If this is what you want to be, if you want to be people who are Mole Chanufa and Gaza Saruach, so you know what? B'derech she'odom roitze leilech, sham mailichin oisai. Bavel is the land. The Babylonians are the people who specialize in arrogance and in flattery. So if you, the Jewish people who are living in Eretz Yisrael, far, far away from Bavel, if you are becoming, you have decided to absorb, to become people of arrogance and flatterers. So you know what? You know where you really belong? Let me take you to a place where they specialize. Take you to Harvard. If you want a good get education, so we'll send you to the best. We'll send you to Oxford. If this is what your specialty is, you want to get a degree in arrogance, so the Ivy League school for arrogance is Bavel. So I'll send you there. Isn't it? Because ki there, ki hu nucha sham al mechunasa. According to the Malbim, the subject of the words, hi nucha sham al mechunasa is gaiva and gasai saruach. This is where it all comes from. This is where it's rooted. Not like the Radak yesterday, which had this complicated, we had this whole discussion yesterday of the word hunucha, which means that the subject of the word hu nicha is a composite of two words, and it refers to Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael, at the beginning, they were forced, hufal, they were forced, hifal, they were forced, and then once they got used to it, oh, they were very happy. And then, according to that interpretation, the subject of the word hu nicha was Klal Yisrael. According to this Mahalach in the Malbim, the subject is flattery and gaiva. This is where this is the Ivy League school for these two midos. And if you want to specialize in it, gei gezunt to hate. I'll send you right there. Sheshamu mokem hoifa gaki kigam bavel yesh chanufa gasaruach mosh amr chachmin azal v'sham tenuach hoifa ki sham mechayin shifta. That's where you want to go. Go there. That's where we'll send you. Okay.
That's an apt analogy because the Ivy League schools are schools of
elitism,
arrogance.
Elitism, yeah. Absolutely. Well, it depends. There's certain each school has its specialty in elitism. Lawyers, it's Yale. Medicine, it's Harvard. Now, everyone, philosophy, it's probably Princeton.
It doesn't matter. They're elitist. All like this.
If you're a Harvard, there are very few Harvard lawyers that are in politics.
That's not true. That's absolutely not true.
I'm sorry.
Full of them. Okay. The establishment is full of Ivy League degrees.
Yale.
Absolutely, I think, loaded with them.
Yeah, but which Ivy League?
They're superior to the rest of us beings.
Yale, but the different Ivy League schools. Yale is the hotbed. From what I understand, Yale is where all the real lefty lawyers who end
it's
up in
not
politics.
Just law schools.
Okay, you're in every field. Every field has its every school has its specialty. Yale is known to be the hotbed for leftist lawyers who enter politics. As far as I remember, you don't hear about, maybe I'm totally wrong, about lawyers from Harvard who become politicians. You hear a lot about
Ted
Cruz is not so bad.
Ted Cruz went to Harvard law.
He's not Cotton, so he's good. So he's good. He's not a leftist.
So
he's a Republican. He's good. He's good. He's going to argue. Wants to argue in the Supreme Court. But I'm talking about Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton went to where?
Yale.
Okay, there's a whole long list of these guys. Where do they all go to? Yale. Yale breeds politicians. Yale Law School.
I could actually look this up.
Yale Law School. And Harvard, you know now we see now what he's doing now. Biden, all of his picks for the medical team, all of the lefty picks for his CDC and his mandate, his mask mandate, are all from Harvard Medical School. Mm-hmm. They're all Harvard people. Harvard breeds the lefty medical professionals, medicine. Yale breeds lawyers, lefty lawyers. Harvard Law School does not breed that much the lefties. They breed righties, or they're into money. They're out there to make money, not out there to control the world. Not yet. Let's go further. I don't know if I'm saying it's accurate. This is how I remember it from years ago. Maybe things have changed since then. Let's see now the Likutei Shas. The Likutei Shas on the bottom is really where the Malam got some of his sources. Vo'esa einai vo'era. Okay, these psukim, the section. I moved to my eyes and I saw v'nei shtayim noshim yoytzos v'ruach. This is the famous Chazal. Asara kabin gasois yardu le'olam. Okay, there are 10 measures of arrogance that came to this world. Tisha notla elam. Who's elam? Elam is Persia. Elam used to be the capital of Persia. What happened? Why was it changed to Shushan Abira? Because of the Kisei Shlomo. Because Elam was the original Washington, D.C. And in Detroit, where they have these big factories, where is Boeing located in America?
Seattle?
Boeing is in Seattle, Washington?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe in Seattle. So can you imagine that they need these big, big, massive factories with all this technology built in? They wanted to make a new throne for Ahasuerus. An imitation of the Kisei Shlomoi. So where are they going to build it? They need a big factory. They need to take over Boeing's factories to go and to build this big throne. And they build the throne, and now it's finished. And now they got to ship it across the country, 3,000 miles to Washington, D.C. And guess what? They discover there's no way we can get it there. They can't take it apart and put it on airplanes, and we can't shut down the GW for wide load vehicles because it's too wide even for the GWB. It's not going to fit over the bridges. So what are you going to do now? So instead of the capital being in Washington, D.C., let's move the capital to Seattle, to the factory in Boeing, wherever that will be the new capital of the country. That's why the capital of Persia changed from Elam to Shushan. In other words, what is this? Is there a greater gaiva than this? I mean, this itself says it all. What's the Kisei all about? Gaiva. The Kisei Akava, right? Isn't the Ribbono Shel Olam, when you talk about the throne represents honor. Lahavdil elif alfei havdalis by the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Kisei is called the Kisei Akavai. So here you have a man, you have Persia, Mole Gaiva in Elam. The Gaiva is so great, they're willing to relocate the capital to a factory because that's where they can have their covet, the Kisei Akavai.
We're talking about the whole time that the Gaiva is in Babel.
Oh, so let's see that. So he's saying over here, let's see, he explains. This is so it's obviously the Malbum.
The best example of that was Domino Sugar.
What do you
when
mean?
When after Coca-Cola moved the headquarters down to Atlanta,
Domino Sugar built their headquarter plant down in Atlanta across the street from the
Coca-Cola?
Coca-Cola.
Why?
Because it's by far their biggest customer.
But no more. No more. They stopped using sugar.
Why?
No more.
No,
they now.
No sugars across the street from Coca-Cola in Atlanta.
But Coca-Cola no longer use. They use. They use corn.
They still use. They're still the biggest users of sugar.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, they moved their plant down there because of that.
The
they,
only time you can get real sugar
is Pesach. The down there, Pesach. They can build across the street.
Sugar.
Pesach.
That's, it's an amazing
Diet Coke and regular Coke. The regular Coke is still use sugar.
Regular Coke has high fructose corn syrup.
Just granulated sugar. Domino, you know, you think of them as the box of sugar. They make a lot of stuff.
High fructose sugar has been in the industry for 35 years. And a lot of people are questioning how healthy it really is. High fructose sugar.
Who said it's healthy?
You don't have a choice. It is
combination destroys your cells.
In the industry, it has completely replaced regular sugar. For 35 years, it has totally replaced regular sugar, and the health effects of high fructose sugar are first now they're trying to understand what exactly is this thing called high fructose sugar, which my body's and most of us probably from top to bottom filled with whatever it is. Let's go for the, it's in the news every so often, high fructose sugar.
I just want to quote a line from Esther Rabba. It says, Asara chalokim shel chanufa ba'olam, tish'a birushalayim yechad b'chol ha'olam. As it is written in Yirmiyahu, ki me'es nivi'e Yerushalayim yotz'a chanufa l'chol ha'oret.
Wow. So the Chanufa came to Eretz Yerushalayim.
Yeah.
All right, let's see what it is in this Medrash. Let's see. Let's see how that fits into this Chazal. Oh, your kasha. Okay, this was the question. What are you talking about? Don't you know what it says in Zechariah at the end? At the end of the fifth parak? Who doesn't know what it says in Zechariah at the end of the parak? It says, V'esainai v'eri hinei sh'taim noshem yoitzes v'ruach b'chan fein v'lohine k'nofayim k'chan v'yachasida v'atisen es o'efa b'in aritz v'na shemayim v'oimer la ma'alach adem v'yi ono heim amolichus es o'efa v'oimer alai livnes l'bais v'yad shinar. Oh, and who are v'am rabbi yachad and what are these two noshem? Zo sh'tei anoshem ramos al chanufa v'gas ruach she'yardud eretz shinar to Bavel. So what are you talking about? You're telling me that it went to Elam. It went to Bavel. So you must Ain, you're correct. Lahacha Nachis, the Ishtar Buve, who the Ishtar Buve Lahasam Le'elam. Who came first? Bavel came first. Bavel came before Elam was a world power. Bavel, when it was destroyed, Madai Uparas, their headquarters were originally in Elam. They took it. They took it and they developed it. And for some reason, we attribute it, we give them credit more than we give it to Bavel. But you're right, the truth is, it went to Bavel. But from Bavel, it traveled to Elam. They knew how to nurture it, how to develop it, become a real Baldaiva, not just a little Baldaiva. Dekanami, Diktani, Livnois Lovayis, Beloshin Yochid, Shma Mino, Shirak ha-chanufa nish'ara b'Bavel. So it says only chanufa remained in Bavel, but gases, but. So what is it really? Shagam, right, it says the only thing that went to Bavel, this pasuk over here in Zechariah says it went to Bavel. And so he's saying this Gemara is teaching us a very interesting idea. There are two Noshim. If there are two Noshim, each one needs her own home. Why don't we think of that question? Because we probably think that the bias is the home for the Eifa, or is the home for, I don't know, one of the other elements of this pasuk. That's the difficulty. Every single word, we're always challenged to know what is the subject of every single word in the pasuk. Since these prophecies are so vague, you can say many things. According to this Maimer Chazal, the subject of the bias is the Isha. And at face value would then mean that both Noshim are living in one bias. Two women are living, their roommates, in one bias, and one mechanufa and gasa saruach. But if this was indeed correct, it should say livnos lohem or lohen bias, or build one house for both of them, or it should say to build botim for both of them. Why only one home? So according to this Maamar Chazal, only one of them remained. The other one went elsewhere. Gasois Haruach did not remain. It was just had a green card temporarily, then moved on to Elam where it settled. But and the bias that says remained in Elam was Chanufa. Chanufa remained in Elam. But Gaiva moved on. I'm sorry, other way around. Bavel received originally Gaiva and Gaso Saruach. Chanufa remained in Elam. And Gaiva left to go to Elam. Asarkam Gas Yodalom Tishnod Elam. The Gaso Saruach traveled further to Elam. So what remained in Bavel? Chanufa. Okay, another Chazal, Rabbi Yochanan Omer, Ein lecha chanufa, chanufa shel Bavel, there's no chanufa from Bavel, shenemar v'yom elai livnos levayis v'yachinar. The ikur chanufa is to be found in chanufa. Ikur chanufa is to be found in Bavel. Okay, now you mentioned here. You mentioned Machol mentioned a medrash in Esther Rabbah that says that chanufa was found in Yerushalayim. So how do we reconcile these two? I don't know.
I don't know whether it means originated, but taking a snapshot at the time of Chazal, it certainly, well, they're saying at some point it was, because Yirmiyahu recognized it as such.
Okay. All right. We are going to now... We pretty much were finished with this section. These are about Balaturim. All right, we'll see if we'll do the Balaturim. Maybe not. Probably not. Okay, tomorrow Mir Tashem, I think we're going to go full. We'll go on to the next sugya. The next sugya in Mir Tashem will begin tomorrow. We'll take a short break and then we'll talk about the laws relating to Erev Shabbos Chanukah and Motzoi Shabbos Chanukah, and anything special about Shabbos Chanukah itself, and then maybe some drush. Some Jewish, today is a very special day. Today is the 24th day of Kislev. Mm-hmm. And we learned not that long ago that there were two prophecies that happened on the 24th day of Kislev. What is the connection between the 24th day of Kislev to those prophecies in Sefer Chagai and its relationship to Hanukkah after our little break, a few moments?
Today is the yard side of Chaim Yecheskel.